Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, January 2nd, 2014. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, about half of Washington cities have restrictions on recreational cannabis businesses in place. There's a drought in Oregon, and the minimum wage in Washington goes up due to cost of living increase. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. An interim legislative committee on state employee compensation says state employees are now making 19% less in Idaho than standard market rates. The committee plans 3 days of hearings on the issue next week at the state capitol in Boise. House Commerce and Human Resources Committee Chair Stephen Hartgen of Twin Falls said, "I would hope that people would realize that we're trying to do the best we can here. Our state employees have really held us together these last few years. Nobody thought in 2006 that by the end of 2009 we'd have lost a third of state revenue, but that's what happened." Idaho lawmakers have only approved 2 state employee pay raises in the last 5 years. The Seattle-based Center for the Study of Cannabis and Social Policy has released a report saying nearly 36 of the largest 75 cities in Washington have imposed moratoriums on legalized recreational marijuana businesses. The report says Wenatchee, SeaTac, and Lakewood have banned or threatened to ban recreational cannabis businesses. The report says about 36 cities have passed zoning laws regulating locations of cannabis stores, gardens, or processing facilities. Washington Liquor Control Board spokesperson Brian Smith said, "Those that have a ban in place run the risk of litigation. We've heard from people who say they'll sue if they're denied the ability to do business." The Liquor Control Board has asked the state attorney general whether cities have the authority to ban recreational cannabis businesses, in part out of concern the bans might create shortages in some areas, allowing marijuana black markets to persist. Center for the Study of Cannabis and Social Policy researcher Drew Matthews said, "There are a lot of cities that really do want to make this work and feel overwhelmed by the prospect of implementing it, while others are really just trying to play out the clock, so to speak, and keep passing moratoriums until the problem goes away and people stop applying in their jurisdiction." In updated numbers, the Liquor Control Board reports they have processed nearly 5,000 applications for grower, processor, or retailer cannabis licenses. The Tri-Cities Development Council plans to use $500,000 in state money to study whether the idea of building small modular nuclear reactors on the Hanford Nuclear Reservation has merit. The council might later submit a proposal to the U.S. Department of Energy. The Department of Energy has already allocated $452 million in matching funds for planned modular nuclear reactors, including one that might be built in Idaho. One of the awards went to New Scale Power of Oregon, which is considering building a nuclear power plant in Idaho that would be run by Richland, Washington-based company Energy Northwest. The other went to Babcock and Wilcox to work on a plant with the Tennessee Valley Authority. Modular nuclear reactors would be about one-third the size of common commercial nuclear reactors and would produce between 45 and 300 megawatts. They would cost between $500 million and $1 billion to build. The Department of Energy says it hopes to have the first of these types of reactors online within 10 years. They are called modular because they can be built in a factory and delivered to a site, and other modules can be added if the operator wanted to produce more power. The Tri-Cities Development Council also is looking into bringing small nuclear reactor factories to the Tri-Cities. A U.S. Drought Monitor report issued December 26th has found most of Oregon is experiencing abnormally dry or drought conditions, while Washington also has wide areas with abnormally dry conditions. The Eugene Register Guard newspaper reports Eugene had only 21.19 inches of rain in 2013, which is 2 inches less than the previous record for the least amount of rainfall in the city. That record was from 70 years ago. The paper reports most Oregon counties have snowpack levels below half the average amount. Federal District Judge Edward Lodge today granted a preliminary injunction against Boise's latest anti-panhandling law. Lodge agreed with the ACLU of Idaho and two men who sued, saying the panhandling ban violates First Amendment free speech rights. Lodge wrote, "The purpose of the ordinance is to suppress particular speech related to seeking charitable donations and treats this speech content different than other solicitation speech. Freedom of speech may be the most important right to protect in order to maintain our republic. The court is mindful that citizens asking or even begging other citizens for money can make the person being asked feel uncomfortable and imposed upon, but in public places, all citizens must tolerate speech they don't agree with, find to be a nuisance, insulting, or outrageous." The plaintiffs did not challenge part of the law banning aggressive requests for money or panhandling on roadways. Lodge commented on that part of the law in his ruling anyway, saying it is unlikely a municipality wants people soliciting for any purpose in a roadway. This creates a danger to the individual as well as to the operators of vehicles. It is not the nature of the speech that causes the violation of the ordinance, but the physical location of the person who is soliciting that creates a prohibited act. ACLU Idaho Legal Director Richard Epping said the ruling was to be expected because federal courts have struck down similar laws across the country. City of Boise spokesperson Michael Zula told the Idaho Statesman, "The city does not know what its next step will be." The minimum wage in Washington was boosted to $9.32 per hour yesterday under a 1998 initiative that ties minimum wage increases to the Federal Consumer Price Index. The boost from the previous $9.19 per hour represents 13 cents per hour. The Washington minimum wage is the highest in the nation for an entire state. Oregon is second with a $9.10 minimum wage that went into effect yesterday. Oregonians also got a consumer price index boost in the minimum wage this week. The old minimum was $8.95 per hour. Idaho's minimum wage remains the lowest in the Northwest at $7.25 an hour. It is one of 21 states in the nation that have the same minimum wage as mandated by the federal government. A group that wants to put an initiative on the Idaho ballot to increase the minimum wage in steps so it would be $9.80 an hour by 2017 says it has already collected more than 10% of the voter signatures needed to put it on the ballot. Federal Judge Sam Haddon of Billings recently found former billionaire and Yellowstone Club founder Tim Blixeth in contempt of court for selling a seaside hotel and condominium complex in Jalisco State in Mexico in violation of a court order not to sell the property because it was part of Blixeth's bankruptcy proceedings. Attorney Shane Coleman requested the contempt ruling on behalf of Yellowstone Club Liquidating Trust trustee Brian Glasser. It was granted December 23rd. Blixeth was the controversial owner of the millionaires-only Yellowstone Club in Montana and also co-owner of the Pacific Timber Corporation, which has been pushing to trade checkerboard land it owns among Forest Service parcels along the Bitterroot Crest in Idaho for national forest acres elsewhere in Idaho County or on the Palouse Ranger District and other locations in the Idaho Panhandle. Blixeth sent an email to the Associated Press Tuesday saying he plans to appeal Haddon's ruling and that he did not believe he was violating a court order against selling the Tamarindo Resort because his attorneys had told him the injunction had been nullified by a reversal of the Yellowstone Club reorganization plan. Blixeth's attorney, Patrick Fox, wrote to the Associated Press that the resort was sold out of absolute necessity because of a drop in tourism in an area of Mexico scarred by drug cartel violence, which had caused the resort to lose $80,000 per month. Fox said Mexican authorities were threatening to seize the resort for unpaid taxes, which would have caused a total loss. Coleman characterized the explanation as one of Blixeth's, quote, increasingly lame excuses. Former KRFP and KZUU DJ Scott Johnston, also known by the air name Gigglebush, was killed in a home invasion while visiting South Carolina yesterday morning. The 32-year-old Johnston, who had lived in Pullman and had lived in Portland in recent years, was visiting his girlfriend in the Greenville, South Carolina area when two people entered the home. Police say the girlfriend, Jody Corley, called 911 to say she had been tied up by the invaders and her boyfriend had been shot. Police later arrested 16-year-old Dante Robert Bacon and 18-year-old James Toward of Seneca, South Carolina, and charged them with murder, kidnapping, and burglary. The two reportedly stole three electric guitars from the home. Johnston died at the scene of multiple gunshot wounds. Scott Johnston was a DJ at KRFP in 2005 and was a DJ at Washington State University student-run radio station KZUU in Pullman for at least 5 years, ending in 2005. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report. Looking at the weather from the National Weather Service, 90% chance of rain between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m., then rain possibly mixed with snow showers after 4 a.m. Low around 32, southeast winds 15 to 20 miles an hour, becoming southwest after midnight. Winds could gust up to 25 miles per hour. Little or no snow accumulation expected. A 40% chance of snow showers tomorrow, mainly before 10 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high of 37. West winds 15, gusts up to 25. Little or no snow accumulation expected. Partly cloudy Friday night, low 20. Mostly sunny Saturday, high 28. Partly cloudy Saturday night, low 18. And mostly sunny on Sunday, high around 25. Currently overcast, 39 degrees in Moscow. Thanks for listening to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, we have Talk Nation Radio, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. And then Shy DJ's in at 7:30 to play music for you. Alan Solon will be playing jazz on Jazzland at 8:30 to 10 p.m. And Confinement Loaf's in for heavy music at 10 p.m. This is KRFP Moscow. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the Radio Free Moscow website to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night.